This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with Evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, Evangelist Adam Borden.
Hello, friends. We wanted to do something very special today, quite a bit different, actually, than what we usually bring to you here on the broadcast. I wanted to take a moment while I'd had an opportunity to spend time with a good friend of mine, Brother Mike Holcomb, who is an evangelist that most of you may not be aware is an evangelist. You would know him from his time singing on the road with the Inspirations. So we wanted to spend some time with Brother Mike, find out what he's doing today, and maybe get some insight from him on some subjects. So Brother Mike, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Adam. It's always a joy to be here. Appreciate you having us on.
Absolutely. Now, our listeners would probably be surprised, a great many of them, that you are actually a preacher, an evangelist, because most of them knew you from your time with the Inspirations. Give us a quick minute on your history with the Inspirations and the time that you spent there.
Well, I started singing with the Inspirations in September of 1972, and I left in October of 2013. And during that time, I've been preaching now for 39 years. Man, I'm getting old.
I didn't say that. You said that about you.
Well, I've earned it.
Well, that's good. For 39 years. Now, did you preach very much during that time when you were the Inspirations?
There was a spell in there. It took a while. I'd say it took 7-8 years to get people to notice that I was actually preaching and getting invitations to go different places. And plus, I had to learn some things. And so didn't preach a lot until about 10 years after I had been with the quartet. And then I started picking up about 15 to 20 3- and 4-day meetings a year, and plus traveling full time with the quartet. From 92 till the spring of 99, I pastored a little country church there in Bryson City.
Oh.
And sang with the Inspirations that whole time.
Well, that's wonderful. So now you've been full time in evangelism since 2013. Then.
That's right.
I've heard you preach numerous times here over these last over a year now. We've been singing together off and on, different meetings and different places where we go, and we get to sing and preach. Man, that's a huge blessing. Well, I tell you what I want us to do, Mike, for the remainder of our time. In your study, what's some of the biblical truth right now that the Lord is kind of shining the light on?
Oh, well, we're living almost in the same circumstance, you might say, that Elijah lived in when he was the only prophet that Israel had left. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, God had told Elijah, it's not going to rain until you say so. And then he said it went 3 years that it did not rain. And so the people couldn't decide. Now, here's where we are in America. People couldn't decide who God was. They had 450 at least prophets of Baal that were preaching heresy and preaching a different gospel, preaching a different word, drawing people away from the true and living God of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have here in America today.
Absolutely.
We've got the left, the leftist, the ultra out there folks that are pulling everything away from trying to say that nothing is wrong anymore, that we can do whatever we want to do, we can live however we want to live, we can worship whoever we want to worship, and it's okay. And they're trying to make the folks that have old-time religion feel bad about it, trying to make them to be ashamed of the
that's
fact
what I was going to say ashamed of
that
it.
They are actually right with God. And that's where Elijah was. He said, come here to me and let's talk about this. Come unto me and let's decide. If Baal be God, then let him be God. But if Jehovah be God, let him be God. And let's decide. So at Mount Carmel, there was the altar, and there was the sacrifices. And the agreement was that whatever God answered by fire, they would recognize as being God. Well, Baal and his crowd, they went on and on and on and on. They went from morning all the way to the evening, and nothing happened. Absolutely nothing took place. Elijah kind of chided them because he said, he's really a God, isn't he? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's too busy. Whatever's wrong, he hasn't answered you. And so then he called for the people. He repaired the altar.
Mm.
That's what I was trying to get to. He repaired the altar that had been broken down. Mm. Here in America, we have torn the altars down. A lot of church services now, there's nobody in the altar.
Right.
Even pastors don't even have invitations anymore because they think that coming to an altar of prayer is too old-fashioned, too personal. I had them tell me it was too personal. Well, if you're ashamed of who Jesus is and what he's done for you, then he will be ashamed of you before his Father, which is in heaven. And we need to get over those things and repair the altars that have been torn down.
You know, he hung, I've said this before, Jesus hung naked before the world. And it ought not be too much for us to go and kneel at an altar on carpet and pray to a God that we've got access to.
Exactly right. I mean, there's one thing God, there are several things God does not like, but one thing God hates is pride.
Absolutely.
Absolutely hates pride. And unless we humble ourselves like a little child and come before him, repairing the altar, repairing our fellowship, repairing our rapport with God, getting back in favor with him, all we're going to see is things get worse and worse and worse.
Mm. And so repairing that, let's talk about that for just a little bit. The altar all throughout the Old Testament was symbolic, yes, but it was also necessary, and it was ordained by God, ordered by God, designed by God in all ways. So here we are. It's 2018. Let's look at three things. Let's talk about the church, the family, and our society. So the church, what do you feel like requires some repair at the altar of the church?
Number one, we need to repair the altar of peace. God has called us as children of God to be peacemakers. And if families are not getting along, if one side of the church can't get along with the other side of the church, if we can't be in peace with one another, we sure can't worship with one another.
Right.
It's just one big mess coming together. So we need to repair the altar of peace. We need to repair the altar of prayer, where we actually pray. You know, it's almost embarrassing sometimes to call on somebody in the church to pray. And they'll be embarrassed because they haven't practiced it enough that they know what to do.
And not to practice it performing, but just in their daily practice of their life.
That's right. They don't have enough experience at it to know how to call on God, how to get in touch with him. Because it's their rapport with God, their relationship with God is so that they can't get a prayer through. They don't know how. They don't know where to begin, who to call on. So we need to get back and repair the altar of prayer so that we can repair the altar of power.
So the altar of peace, the repair the peace, repair the prayer. What about repairing the pulpit?
We need to repair the pulpit where men actually, please notice I said men, actually preach with power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that comes from study and prayer. Study and prayer. Having that hand of God, the breath of God, the anointing, the unction.
Yes.
Old-time preachers call it the unction of God on you to make you to be a fit subject to be used of God, an instrument in his hand, a vessel that
right.
God can use.
Right.
That's what men of God need now, is to get back to the altar of prayer and get a word from the Lord, from the Word of God, not something of their opinion, not some agenda they have, but get something from the Lord that he wants them to give to their people.
What about the home, Mike? I mean, the home is in such disrepair these days. If Satan has attacked anything, of course he's attacked the church. But in my view, in my survey of the landscape, nothing has seen more attack than the home, the core family, the father and a mother who serve the Lord and raise children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's in disrepair. So where do we start? Where do we go?
Oh, we go back to the basics of where dad is in charge of the home, mom is in charge of the family get-togethers and taking care of those kind of things. And the children are brought up to respect and to love their parents and to serve God through their parents.
Right.
Where everybody can see the end in sight, where there's going to be love,
right,
where there's going to be communion,
right,
where there's going to be peace among them. Not everybody doing their own thing, however right. they want to do it, but doing it together, serving God the way they should.
I've read a great book here recently. It's based on a sermon by our friend, Brother John Hamblin, called Get Ye Unto the Great Men. And a lot of men don't have a man in their life that was an example. And I think as part of a cooperative effort, that men who don't know how to be a good dad, don't know how to be a good father, that they should find great men within the church to fall under mentorship. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Find someone who has the credentials to back it up.
Absolutely. And moms, too. You mentioned some things there. And, you know, in Proverbs, we know that diligent mother, she did everything that she had to do. She went into the marketplace. You know, she made some income, whatever it took to keep that family supported. And I understand we're in a two-income family society. I get it. But if the raising of the children, and this falls to both the parents, but you know what, you know the value of the mother in the home. If the children are our failure as a family, then we failed in everything. It doesn't matter what the finances are, and it doesn't matter what we view in the future. If the children have suffered and to a point of spiritual disrepair, it's difficult to see and to see that that's been done the right way.
Right.
Now, obviously, the prodigals, you know, no matter what you do, there's going to be some instances where that child is just going to do what he wants to do no matter how good he's raised. We see that in homes where two children are raised in the same home. One child turns out well, follows God. The other child rebels, goes his own way. Same mom and dad, same raising, same activities, same nurturing. But things just sometimes happen that way. So the home, the altar of the family altar, you know, we refer to that altar of prayer that the family uses. Wouldn't you say that prayer aspect is kind of universal through all these situations?
Well, I'm glad I was raised in a home where mom and dad were not ashamed to pray. And I heard them pray many times. Heard dad and mom read the Bible. They read it to me when I couldn't read, and they tried to show me what a relationship with Jesus was really like. And that made a mark on my life I don't want to ever try to get over.
Right, right. So there's a lot of things that need repair, and I think those are the core aspects. I agree with you on those things. Restoring peace between people, restoring prayer, restoring the pulpits, restoring those elements in the family. And I think that's the place where we need to start. It's not politics is not going to fix it.
No.
The education system's not going to fix it for sure. And so it starts with our individual homes and our churches to do that repair work that needs to be made.
Right.
I appreciate you spending this time with us, Mike. Now, you are traveling all the time, but if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, and let me just say, as a way of endorsement, if you want a season, if your church is needing a seasoned man of God who can help your people, who can help your pastor, who can help evangelize a community, bring life to a church, and sit under some good sound preaching, I highly recommend Brother Mike. And he might sing a little bit, too. You never know. So how's the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to the internet, of course, mikeholcomb.org. And they can find all the information there that they need to get in touch with me. Also, they can go to Heart's Desire Ministries on the internet, and you can find basically the same thing, just in a different format.
Right. Okay. And we'll have those links on our website. Folks want to go to evangelistadamborden.com. We'll have Mike's links there as well. Mike, thanks so much for spending this time with us, and we hope we can do it again sometime.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening today.
Our prayer is that the Word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com, spelled B-O-R-D-E-N. And click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word with Evangelist Adam Borden.